So back in June, some genius posted the entire Chinese Democracy album on You Send It. Of course, Notes Underground got it.
To watch the Terminator 2.
No, this will be on Terminator 5, you know, Terminator 6 and Terminator 7. This will be the title track. It's like stepping in a time machine hearing that.
It still sounds, I mean, there's some different. Axel does sound a little different.
He sounds a little chubbier.
Yeah.
He sounds like it's got some pudge around the lower jawline and maybe up around the eyes.
It's insulating his vocal cords.
Just a little bit. But it's sounding really good. Really good.
Yeah, but the rest of the album,
it's hit and miss.
There's like two, maybe three singles in there, and then the rest is worse than the rest of Use Your Illusions.
I heard rumors that it was like a $30 million production in 10 years.
Because they're so difficult to work with because they're drunk?
It's him and no one else. It's just Axel. Anyone he invites into the making of the album. And I'm sure it's got like an A-list celebrity musicianship on the album. I don't know who yet, but it's...
Who could be better than Slash?
Yeah. I'm about to kick
and
into
Duff.
his biography. apparently he talks quite a bit about why he won't even speak to Axl Rose anymore and will never, ever consider ever, ever, and that means ever, getting back together with Guns N' Roses.
So Slash has nothing to do with this album?
Absolutely nothing.
What's the point?
Yeah, that's a good question. What is the point?
I mean, because Slash was what, you know, he's like the quintessential.
Yeah, he was a good solid chunk of it. Yeah, he is the guitar hero. Do you think he gets anything out of that? Does he get residuals?
Oh, absolutely.
Out of Guitar Hero?
Yeah.
But what, he's just a caricature on the cover. But he's nothing else.
He's getting paid for that. So are the Aerosmith guys.
Yeah, I guess they are. In today's day and age, how can you not get paid for that sort of thing? But yeah, so
$30 million.
$30 million. Figure there's 350 million people in the United States. You know,
they're never going to make it.
They're never going to make their money back. Never.
Because 10 years out, right? It's been 10 years.
Yeah.
So really, like, they have to win over a whole new generation of fans.
They do. But at the same time, our generation will be willing to pay $100 a ticket to go see it. So all he has to do probably is just tour
just
for a year
to
easily make the money back, actually, thinking about it. In terms of album sales, he doesn't stand a chance. But like,
so is it just Axl? How is it
just
DNR?
Axl. It's just he owns the rights to the name.
Because it's his last name, Rose.
Because he had the biggest, baddest-ass lawyers.
So it's Axl and then a bunch of musicians and nobody else from GNR.
As far as I know.
That's so,
I would love it if someone would correct me because I want to know more about it.
That cheapens it for me.
It does, but it still sounds so good. It's like you hear him when he comes in with that Axl Rose voice, and you didn't even realize how much you missed it until you hear it, and it's great.
So Axl gets Guns N' Roses, and Slash gets
Velvet Revolver. it's a bad deal, we all know. But yeah, so man, I hope some of you out there got to find that link on You Send It. No one still knows who the insider was that posted the whole thing.
Really?
All they know is that the lawyer shut it down within like a week.
Probably Slash.
Oh, wouldn't that be cool? Yeah.
No, Slash doesn't care. Maybe it was Duff.
No, Duff's too innocent. He's like a Labrador Retriever.
Oh, you know who it was? It was the Stone Temple Pilots guy. What's his name?
I don't remember.
Scott
Whelan.
Whelan.
Yeah.
He's like, God damn that Axl. This is my time.
Yeah, no kidding, man. It's like with Scott Whelan had a good rival dance.
Just
because
I'm in jail
too.
Doesn't mean I can't win.
I wouldn't be surprised if they did have a little rivalry, a little bitterness between them, because it could just as easily have been Scott. He was as cool, without a doubt. Just wrong time, wrong place. Story of our lives.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So check it out. We just, Bailey and Renica and I, we just spent a weekend at Camp Bestival.
Where are you?
At Lulworth Castle.
Oh, cool, man.
Yeah. It was really cool.
That sounds awesome.
Bailey's first music festival.
Yeah.
And it was...
There wasn't any Barney, was there?
No Barney, but okay. There were more kids than adults. It was the most amazing like music festival I've ever been to. I felt like there were moments there where I actually felt like I was in, you know, medieval Europe, like, because they had the flags going in the wind and like the maypole dancing and
oh cool,
like just like, and jousting and like
really
just like people dressed up in Mad Hatter outfits, and it was just totally bizarre and weird. Flaming Lips were headlining, but
wow.
But we were hanging out mostly at the quiet stage. The mellower stage.
Yeah,
so they had one main stage and like a second stage and then like a DJ tent.
Yeah.
And we spent most of the time at the second stage just because we didn't, you know, Bailey's ears are
sensitive.
Delicate and stuff.
They're very sensitive.
But over there, like there was this girl who was all by herself with a laptop. So she would just press like the space bar and like start dancing and singing.
Yeah.
And her name's George Pringle. And
oh, cool.
She reminded me of Cassie O'Tone for the Painfully Alone. So I thought I'd play it for you.
Excellent.
Some days I actually pine for a sweep over in a polo shirt again. This year saw change. I started dyeing my hair lighter and I cut in a fringe and I started wearing drain pipes that hugged my legs, and I suppose the same problems remained. They just got more complicated and they curled out further. My problems stretched out in the sun, sent me a postcard to say they hoped I was okay. And isn't Buenos Aires fabulous? Or maybe this was brought in by newfound ability to sleep alone. Or apathy. I don't know. I think New Year's begins in September. Well, at least for me, they always have. I've always been fond of September. Spring is never a good time. So trussed up and beautiful drag queen, but autumn is real. So in the new year period, I changed a lot, and all the while thought such a great tragedy I never looked this good as a teenager. And all the while I let ferocity build up in me. I took it out of myself, the shorter my skirts got, and the skinnier my legs bowed, and the flatter my chest got, and all the while we were sweethearts. I threw beautiful lines that I never knew I was even capable of. I counted green pills and cigarette ends. I stopped playing guitar and let my fingers soften and my nails grow for a while. Started drinking more and keeping unusual hours. Started playing Street Fighter 2. Until my eyes felt like they were going to drop out of my head, and then I get enraged by the fact I was never going to be good enough to play hyper mode, and Blanka was always going to be stronger than Chun-Li. So maybe I should enlighten you on what happens in your absence. This selfish existence where this introvert turns extrovert and dons their social armour. I became the perfect party apprentice, with a PhD in sitting on kitchen counters and drawing my cheeks in and shooting you looks that I don't even mean. And hips that grind to scratchy indie hits. And shoes that stick to nightclub floors. Well, you can understand why I can't, and you've never been up at 4 a.m. with the fear. You never laid in your bedroom floor half blind, you wouldn't love the girl that wakes up perspiring beer. And I cry much less these days. I can't help but wonder what happened to ninjas in adventure. My dreams are like flashes and they give me hope. And in these dreams I grew the bones of a fighter while you were sleeping. And I became supreme. And I fought and I seduced from a terrace house that rides a hill in this dead little city. Cinematic mini epics sobered by train lines and phone lines. And I forget these things. My life's a tangle of cables these days, roads and train tracks like wallpaper now. I start taking hundreds upon hundreds of photographs, all of which you're absent from. A detailed scientific investigation into light reflected on glass, and I became invisible. Listening to techno and shoegaze in my room all alone, and private parties all for myself, and slender fingers home from MSN, and encyclopedic knowledge of daytime television presenters.
She has a blog.
Yeah, she's clearly got a lot to say. She was cramming more words in there than melodies.
More references than I could ever catch in one song.
Yeah.
But that was cool, man. That's
part of what I liked about it, actually, was that it felt like it was something poetic about it rather than she was like trying to be the next pop star.
Yeah, you know? She's somewhere in between Kate Nash and Lady Tron, I think. Mm. It's good.
Yeah, Kate Nash was at the festival.
Oh, was she?
And Lady Hawk.
Lady Hawk we played. Loved the Lady Hawk. And that was a good movie, too. Do you remember that movie from the 80s?
The Black Kids was there.
Oh, the Black Kids. They were at Glastonbury. I saw them play. They were great. Yeah.
Everyone's talking about them.
Yeah. Well, they're from Miami, aren't they?
Miliana Torini was there.
Who's
She's
that?
Really good. I don't know. Maybe I'll see if I can,
I've never
if
heard
I can
of
find
Miliana
a track
Torini.
During our next set. But I was one of my best moments of the last couple of weeks was getting an email from Cougar.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
Rawr. Cougar attack.
Yeah, me and Cougar, we go way back.
you go back to the kitten days.
Yeah, but no, I think he's from Colorado, and then he went to film school in Montana, or he's from Montana and he went to film school in Colorado. I can't remember which.
We need the Cougar biography. Autobiography.
But anyways, let me read some of what he's got, and then he sent us some music. So he wrote, "Hey, NU crew, hope you're doing better, Mitch. That epidemic parietis is rough."
Yeah.
Parotitis.
How are your glands?
Yeah, he knows about the whole thing.
Your glands are cool?
Yeah, actually, here's the weird thing, is I found out I didn't actually have the mumps.
What? But your balls hurt.
I know, I had like all the telltale signs, but I got a blood test just to make sure, and then I didn't have...
Son of a bitch!
What is that?
No, that's just twisted.
Right?
That's just twisted.
I'm even more concerned, you know? So
maybe you're just really wound up about the mayoral elections in London.
Yeah, maybe I just got kicked in the balls.
Yeah, maybe. At night while you slept, didn't notice. Next thing you know, you think you have the mumps.
So he says, suppose I will let you know what I've been up to before I go into the recommendations I have racked up these past few months. It's pretty crazy to think. I started listening to the show in high school, and now I only have one semester of college left.
Wow. That is crazy.
Just got done working on my first feature film as first AC. Here's the link to the article. I'm the one in the orange shirt. I'll keep you posted whether or not it gets distributed. I'm still happy with my girlfriend who goes to school in Washington. It was 3 years in May. I remember one of our first mixtapes. I made her a Seth, Third Son of Albert track from New Music 16 on it.
Sweet.
If I recall correctly. See, I've been keeping notes when listening to these past episodes about different topics brought up, and I realize these responses are dated between 2 and 7 months, but thought I would share them anyhow. So, point one, alarm clock. I don't even remember this conversation.
I do. It was like four episodes ago.
He says, I have this alarm clock from Sharper Image called the Sonic Boom, and I swear Sharper Image went to the underworld and recorded demons screaming. Not only can you adjust the pitch to whatever tones drive you crazy, there is also a vibrating disc you place underneath your pillow that shakes the whole bed. Truly frightening and makes you fear for your life your first breath in the morning.
That's horrific.
I can't deal with that. I don't even have an alarm clock.
Yeah.
I wake up to the Bailey going.
You wake up to the Bailey. Well, she's Bailey pretty going, consistent, I imagine. Bailey doesn't sleep in until 11. No. That's cool. I like the natural methods, but I also like the idea of making an alarm clock that makes you fear for your life first thing in the morning.
Yeah.
That's pretty funny.
It sounds like
it's the worst possible alarm clock in the world.
So then he says, pick lens. It's a sweet Firefox plugin, especially if you use Flickr, Facebook, or websites with similar photo applications. Yeah, like MySpace too. MySpace. But no, PicLens is actually really cool.
That is really cool.
And then he says, ripping Flash. I use Video Flash Downloader to rip Flash video onto my computer, and then iSquint to turn it into an AVI or iPod video. Hmm. Both of these are Mac apps and free. You know what I like a lot is Handbrake.
Handbrake's brilliant.
I can get a DVD into an AVI, into anything I want, and I don't have to do anything.
I love it.
Decodes it and
flawless. It's absolutely flawless. And it tells you at the very end, put your cocktail down, your video's ready.
Yeah.
Oh, I love programmers. Hug your nerd, everybody. Hug your nerd.
And then he writes another bit, film versus HD. The pinnacle of prosumer HD right now is 1080p. 16mm is greater than 2000, and 35mm is greater than 4,000 lines of resolution.
He is involved in video.
If you want the full nerd out techie stuff about progressive versus interlaced and or why film's better than HD, technically and aesthetically, please let me know. We should get these two, the guys talking, the analog, the sound guy and the video guy. Remember? Because remember we're
This, no, this. Together they could create the new ultimate sound video. Yeah. Protocol or whatever.
Because the consensus is that though there are, what I'm finding is that though there are these sort of people that are absolutists about, you know, analog being better than digital no matter what,
mm-hmm.
is that what I'm getting from the digital world is there's right digital and there's wrong digital, and if you play your digital right, then you can be just as good as analog. Silence.
Yeah, I have nothing to say to that.
But by the way, I tried my first FLAC download.
What's a FLAC?
It's a type of audio file.
FLAK.
FLAQ. FLA. Anyways, it's like OGG.
Oh, okay. Yo.
So there's FLAC and there's OGG. Both of these are supposed to be higher quality digital formats for music.
Which bandana color do I have to wear for FLAC?
Exactly.
Red?
Exactly.
OGG's blue.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. I'm into the
OGG. It sounded pretty good, but the only thing was I couldn't play it over AirTunes because AirTunes compresses Well, I don't know if anyone.
So lost already.
You know AirTunes, right?
Well, no, really. I mean, I know what it looks like and I know what it's supposed to do, but I've never used it.
You can use it in my house today.
In your house?
Yeah.
In your crib?
Yeah, my crib.
Only if it uses OGG.
Exactly.
That's all I want.
Yeah.
In your crib.
Anyways, okay, back to Alex's email. So he says, grand old party update. They just stole the show at Bonnaroo and are playing with Black Keys this fall. At last I checked.
Oh, cool.
Oh, Kristen Gundren, the lead singer, also plays the drums. How badass is that? Grand old party's MySpace link in case you wanted the second listen.
I like drummer singers. Drummer singers are some of my favorite folks. Yeah.
Don Henley?
Yep. Phil Collins?
Phil Collins.
Need we say more?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I can't think of a better list.
Come on. No. Oh, there's the guy that Bad to the Bone, right? You remember him? What's his name?
Thorogood?
Wasn't he his drummer singer?
Oh, is he?
I think he was.
Oh.
Where's Leave the
he's
Door?
He's actually pretty good.
I'm pretty sure he was a drummer singer. Thorogood.
All right. So check it out. He says, now finally, over half a year and Sasquatch Music Festival later, some recommendations. So I picked his first three. Maybe we can drop in. He gave us five. Maybe we can do some others later. But his first three. Let's just start playing the stuff. So he's got one from a band called Morning Benders called Love All. And I think it's actually originally Cardigans. But it's cool.
Facing a problem, you love me no longer, I know it. Maybe there is nothing that I can do to make you do. Mom tells me I shouldn't bother, that I'll just stick to another girl, a girl that surely deserves me, but I think you do. So I cry, I pray, and I beg. Love me, say that you love me.
Fool me,
go on and fool me.
Love me,
pretend that you love me.
Leave me,
say that you need me. So I cry, and I beg for you to.
Love me,
say that you love me.
Leave me,
just say that you need me. I can't care about anything but you. Desperately pondered, spent my nights awake, and I wonder what I could have done in another way to make you stay. Reason when I pledge a solution, I will end up lost in confusion. I don't care if you really care, as long as you don't go. So I cry, I pray, and I beg.
Love me,
say that you love me.
Fool me,
go on and fool me.
Love me,
pretend that you love me.
Leave me,
just say that you need me. So I cry, and I beg.
Love me,
say that you love me.
Leave me,
say that you need me. I don't care about anything but you.
Anything but you. Love me. Fool me. Love me.
I enjoyed that.
I dig it too. It's nice to hear a fresh take on that song.
Yeah. I feel like that song has been made better.
I think a lot of people should try covering that song. It could be a real winner.
Yeah.
Like, I'd like to hear it from a number of
people. I'd like to hear like a version.
Oh, that'd be cool. I'd like to hear a Calexico version.
Oh, Calexico.
Yeah.
Hey, speaking of Calexico, we got some Calexico.
One of my favorite bands.
Let's play it.
When they kick out your front door, how you gonna come? With your hands on your head or on the trigger of your gun? When the law breaks in, how you gonna go? Shot down on the pavement, waiting on death row. You can crush us, bruise us, but you'll have to answer too. Of brick steel. María negra que te protege de este mal tiempo. Nunca te rindas, piensa en tu gente. María negra, seca tu frente. Santa María, María negra, cuida tu tiempo, cuida tu suerte.
Santa, you know it María, means no mercy. They caught him with a gun. No need for the black Maria. Goodbye to Brixton, son. You can crush us, bruise us, but you'll have to answer to
Santa Maria Negra.
Guns of Brixton. When they kick out your front door, how are you gonna come? With your hands on your head or on the trigger of your gun? You can crush us, bruise us, but you'll have to answer to.
Mitch, it's just I don't like your new haircut.
You don't.
I don't want to be seen next to you. No, that's just kidding.
I don't understand.
I can't go on with this lie, Mitch. I do love you, and I can't possibly put down your haircut.
It feels weird. I feel more aerodynamic when I'm walking. I feel like I'm walking faster.
Are you on eBay right now for the one piece unitard spandex suit?
I'm Pink Man.
Yeah.
So should we play some more of Cougars music, or do you want to, didn't we get Lee the Dork sent something in?
Oh yeah,
do some more comments.
Yeah, that was brilliant. Let me see if I have it right here. Actually, oh, I don't have it handy. No, but Lee wrote in and he said something brilliant, which was that it turns out he works. You guys, you remember how in the last episode we played the
Slicky Boys.
Slicky Boys, thank you. And it was that song, "This Party Sucks." And it was like it's the song that just made me so stoked from my youth, you know. Turns out that Lee works at the same radio station, 100 watt community radio station, as the drummer from the Slicky Boys. Small world, huh? What do you know? And so Lee writes in and he says, "Hey Mitch, small world. The Slicky Boys drummer is a DJ at WRIR, the station I also DJ at. It's a 100 watt community radio station in Richmond, Virginia. His name is Dan." Word up.
What is that? How is that? I mean, there's too many coincidences.
This is brilliant. Yeah. This is like one of the most brilliant coincidences in my entire life. "And I'm sending him a link to your show with the enthusiastic Slicky Boys commentary. He called my show last night and I told him all about it. He wants to let their fan club dude know about it as well. Try to let me know when you're recording the next show. Maybe I'll call in with a dork report. I've gotten married and have a baby on the way, due October 14th. Right on, Lee. Congratulations.
You're adultifying.
Or something.
Or something. Yeah, so Lee, sorry we couldn't get the timing right. Dan and I just decided this morning that we're going
to
do
a quickie.
It. And you were asleep, so.
Yeah, such is life. But, yeah, man, it'd be great to hear from you.
We'll try and schedule the next one.
We need to schedule the next one.
I think we need to introduce you to, because you've already met Dan, haven't you?
Yeah, we met briefly on one phone conversation, one Skype conversation.
We got to introduce you to Dr. Spence.
Mm. You need to fly out here, do some paper deliveries in London.
Exactly right.
Yeah, London needs the Richmond Post, or I don't know. What's the paper? I don't know what he delivers.
Powhatan.
Powhatan. The Powhatan.
Powhatan Post.
Yeller. Yeah. Powhatan Caller. Yeah. London needs it. London needs it.
Hey, we got another couple from Cougar, so I'm going to keep playing some music. This one's called, this is a mashup called Foxy Switch Remix from Speaker Junk. Sounds sweet. We'll be right back.
vaccinated. I'm gonna take you home. Yo.
Nicer to go to other people's good house parties. Yeah, you don't clean up. You just split, you know? You just throw a glass bottle in the corner of the room and split.
I'm finished.
Yeah, done here. This party sucks. I'm out of here.
That was cool, man.
That was super
Thanks,
cool.
Cougar. I like That was really good.
I like hearing Hendrix in that new light.
Yeah, when I saw Foxy in there, I didn't realize it was going to be Foxy Lady.
Yeah, yeah.
That was really good.
No, well done, man.
So what's the history behind that? Let me see if I can dig up his email and see if I can get something on it. So he says something about... He just says he likes it. I didn't get a... Yeah, I don't know anything about them other than they are in the UK and they did my new all-time favorite mashup. Foxy.
Mm.
Switch remix.
Can you call that a mashup? What was the other half?
I don't know if it's a mashup or just a remix.
It's just a sample, really.
Unless there's an original song that's just like doesn't have it.
Yeah, I wouldn't recognize stuff. Like an original techno song. That's not my genre.
But I was just telling Dan earlier, too many DJs do an incredible It Smells Like Teen Spirit by Nirvana remix that's like super technified.
I bet I could destroy myself on that song. Just pogoing around the room. It sounds good.
I mean,
I'd break that mirror right there for sure. I can tell you that right now.
And there's got to be like some amazing Zeppelin potential too. Like, you know, the really good classic rock songs.
Yeah,
can be remixed into.
I like to think that this whole Radiohead thing about releasing the source tracks is going to really catch on.
Well, what's funny about what they did is that it's that song that they released is in like 5/8. Mm-hmm. It's not in 4/4.
Yeah,
it's not in.
It's
like
a challenge out to the people out there.
Like, the whole thing is like they're like, go ahead and try.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and the funny thing was there was an amazing response. Like the people really were able to fuck with the song.
Yeah.
And like work with the source files and like make it into something.
Yeah, yeah. But it's a brilliant marketing
really
move
quite
as well.
Difficult. Yeah.
It's a brilliant marketing move. You got to wonder if the band did it or if they had someone else out there that was like, you know, you should do this.
It's interesting because it's like their marketing got so much better once they left the record label.
Yeah.
You know, because they're doing all these like really sort of cutting edge, you know, online experiments,
yeah.
Which double as marketing.
Yeah. But I think,
but what's the point in having a record label if they're not like helping you market your music, like, yeah, in a exactly. way that well, reaches it's, your fans. You
it's
know?
It's like, it's having a route through a stodgy, you know, a stodgy sales path. You know, it's yeah. but like it's funny because I think that all of this can be so tracked back to hip hop. I honestly think that hip hop were the originators of this marketing knowledge, because the way that they cross-referenced one another, both musically and lyrically, and the way that they always, you know, supported like the freedom of the music and the freedom of borrowing.
Right.
It's I think this it's shocking that in a way it took this long for any other genre to catch on like that. I mean, you could say that you know, techno music maybe caught on before to this marketing genre, but techno music is, I don't know, it never had the same like buying power that rock and roll or any of these
but
other.
It's like using content somebody else's content as a way of marketing your own content.
Yeah, it's by giving credit. All you gotta do is give credit.
Is marketing.
Yeah,
yeah.
All you gotta do is give credit, and it's good for everyone. It's good for both parties just equally. It doesn't detract from anything to give credit to someone else for what you've done.
It's like footnotes.
Exactly, which made all my essays. Half the page was footnotes.
But that's the thing, is like a good paper is really just a collection of other people's ideas.
Strung
like,
together in a new way. Yeah.
No one's...
No, the Egyptians did it all. The Egyptians have done it all. We're just stringing all the Egyptian shit together in a new way.
Hey, what's this Diamond Dogs MP3?
We played that on the last show.
Oh,
that
okay.
was the Beck song.
I don't see. Oh, it was.
Yeah,
I don't see that Emiliana Torini track.
I put it on your hard drive, the heavy, and to download.
I'm trying to find it. Well, let's do what, this one. There's one more. We have one more from Cougar. It's called YT Cracker, and this guy is doing some amazing stuff too. Alex says, Cougar says, YT Cracker is the undisputed king of nerdcore, mm-hmm. and I am certainly in favor. After about 80 or so episodes, I think I can safely say that you all, as well as myself, enjoy a good nerd geek out.
Yeah, you definitely can.
And what better way than with a nerdcore rapper, whose tracks include View Source, Juarez Loader, and Surge Runner.
So this is beyond Cool Keith in terms of nerdcore. This is real nerdy yeah. stuff.
This is a rap ballad.
This isn't just like science core or something. This is nerdcore.
Yeah, nerdcore.
Yeah.
His first EP is Nerd Rap Entertainment System, featuring 7 hot tracks over old school NES beats.
Oh,
you can get the entire EP for free here, just like they used to back in the 05 days. Nerd Rap Entertainment System.
It'll be interesting to see how this compares to the Wii song that we played a few shows back.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, remember we did it. Yeah. We did a guy that rapped over Wii, and it was real candy apple.
Well, so this one's called Dig Dug, so I'm assuming it's like a Dig Dug. It's using the Dig Dug digital, you know, lo-fi.
Brilliant.
For the bass layer. Let's check it out.
Silent John incremental, another silent instrumental, the nerd rap existential. People compare me to MC Chris upon a lot, but the fact is I predict it with significance. I'm the oldest geek rapper by far, save K&R. Compiling kernels, open bracket, cause I racket. MIT nerds, throw your laser pen in the air and wave it all around like it had no repercussions. Now follow instructions, Professor White's discussions consist of nothing but incoherent rambling and babbling. But you just still take notes cause you never know what's happening. I'll drop a little nugget, a tidbit if you will. There were 4 United States presidents named Bill.
Really?
If you run out of hit points, the game will shout.
Your life force is running out.
If you dig this, then you dug this, cause I'm all about the nerd life, word life. If you dig this, then you dug this, cause I'm all about the nerd life, word life. If you dig this, then you dug this, cause I'm all about the nerd life, word life. If you dig this, then you dug this, cause I'm all about the nerd life, word life, yeah. Let me start again, put it on like a cardigan, swinging like my name was Mad Mardigan. Which reminds me, Warwick Davis was Willow and Anee. Walk, Leonard Nimoy was Galvatron and Spock.
that ain't typecast, I don't know what is. Talk about predestiny, nobody gets the best of me. I've only played one role my whole lifetime, the nerd lifeline, stream through a wicked pipeline. So no one can bite mine, cause mine is original, and I write rhymes to burn on a CD, playing in mini-B. Soccer mom, yodel bat, yodel at belittle me. I got a sidekick, I gotta stay connected. Watch out for my decom or you'll get infected. And you don't wanna be one of my bots, cause I see it all like Sauron the Cyclops. And I won't hesitate to drop your whole net block if you're acting up and you're dumber than a pet rock. I'm about this nerd life, as you can see, spreading like a virus on MP3.
Yeah, STC. Shout out to Vic, Agnostic One, up with Uncle Silent John. Yeah, yeah. Nerd Life, graphing calculator, HP48G. The G is for gangster. Digital Snip, yeah. You know how we do.
That was cool.
That was cool. That was hyper hardcore.
Dig Dug is super retro.
Yeah, you know, I can't say I really actually recognize the Dig Dug tune. I just know the name. Dig Dug was a little bit before my time in video gaming.
That was arcade. That never really made it into the home entertainment system.
Yeah, yeah. You remember back in New Music 68? You remember New Music 68? Very special episode.
That was the one where we played... Eagles of Death Metal?
No, it wasn't.
Okay.
No, but we did play That Funky Wii by DJ BC.
Oh, okay.
Who did a similar joint, but with Wii songs. And
back in my old place? That must
No, dude, was 68. That was just here, yeah. That was back in winter.
Back in winter.
You remember winter?
Just call me Winter.
No, I think they definitely fall into a similar genre. Something about the tunes that come from a Nintendo, it's like immediately recognizable.
But there's also some stuff from days, like back in the Zach and Bobby days of New Music, where we play, where there's like a some sort of a guy who was using a Commodore.
Whoa.
And like a dot matrix printer.
Oh, yeah.
Music.
There's been, you know,
there's super cool shit.
That takes us right back to the Radiohead topic, actually, because when Radiohead released all those source tracks, they also had a competition for making a video for one of their songs.
Yes,
you saw the winner for that.
I saw that video
with the hard drives and the speakers and all that.
Yeah.
That was brilliant.
We should
some
get
Glasgow
track.
Music, some Glasgow video student. He was like an art student,
Yeah,
and it was brilliant. It was really well done.
But that's what. So that to me solidifies Radiohead in like the avant-garde music category rather than pop. Like. So you had these two, I mean, Radiohead was around days before Coldplay, right?
Thank God.
But they're both like sort of, you know, powerful, like global English bands.
Mm-hmm.
And Coldplay came out, you know, what was it, like 90, no, I guess it was 2001 or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And totally like took over in terms of like the number
charts,
the number one British artist rock band.
Yeah.
And then they both released albums this year, and Radiohead, although consciously trying to be pop, still is like super artistic and avant-garde and a bit weird and inaccessible,
a little bit experimental
for some people. And like Coldplay, as hard as they tried, they could not like get into like, they couldn't get out of being that like
being Coldplay.
Epic song of the evening.
Yeah,
this is the end.
Yeah, like, the Hyde Park.
Yeah, this is like
act.
Yeah, this is the moment you've all been waiting for, and we're gonna do it again.
Yeah.
Anyways, that was a bit of a sort of. The stuff I've been thinking about, because I keep wondering, I keep waiting for the next Led Zeppelin, the next Beatles, the next huge band, and I think it's not possible. I think that in this age of like overconsumption, there's no way for.
I think it might be possible, but we won't get it. I don't think you and I, we might never be willing to latch onto a band that big. Maybe you only have so many bands that big that one person in their lifetime can latch onto and consider that epic.
No, but I think that, like, I think the Rolling Stones
mm-hmm.
were everything. You know what I mean? Like, when they were big,
mm-hmm.
like, that was it. There wasn't anything else to talk about. And, like, nowadays, there's so many celebrities, and there's so many photos, and there's so many tracks, and there's so much media that there's no way that any one band could occupy that much brain space.
That's definitely possible. Definitely possible. So you could even be saying then, if you take that further, that forevermore, no one will ever be able to have a band that is to one person that big, because there's always going to be such a throughput of great music, of new things.
I'm not saying to one person. I'm saying to a community.
To such a mass audience.
What was amazing about the Beatles and Led Zeppelin
is that they were as big as Jesus.
Is that they were able to sort of segment, you know, the 60s and the 70s into little chunks, and they each got these big parts of those 20 years.
Yeah,
you know, and then all of a sudden here come the 80s, and we're starting to. And music is cheaper to produce, and it's easier to communicate out to the masses. And suddenly, there's no way for any one band to occupy
everyone's
interest.
To make
that
mark with so many people.
Yeah,
I like, and I think it was the Beatles that did, that said the statement that they're bigger than Jesus. Wasn't it the Beatles that said that first?
I thought it was Oasis.
Was it Oasis?
No.
Fuck. Oh no, that'd be horrible. I think it was the Beatles that first said that. Maybe I'm wrong.
Bigger than Jesus?
Well, maybe I'm wrong, but I like the idea of having a milestone.
Right.
You know, and if you look at a per capita popularity sort of thing, like global capita popularity, what band is achieving has ever achieved the greatest per capita popularity around the world?
Well, they're saying that Coldplay is the biggest band in the world.
No! That's not what we need to hear, but still, that needs to be measured.
Right.
It needs to be measured.
In terms of history, not just in terms of
current. In terms of history. And of course, it'll always change, and someone recent might break the ceiling of it, but then over 10 years down the line they might completely fall below that number, in which case they were not bigger than Jesus, because ultimately it's like, how big has Jesus been over the course of all of history,
and
how big are you over the course of your history? I think it's a brilliant ongoing chart to be looking at.
It should be
more interesting than any of the CMJ music charts, in my opinion.
Well, we got one more track,
just one.
That's it. Yeah. Aww. Emiliana Torini.
Oh, cool.
She was another musician at the show that we went to, the Camp Bestival, which I'm definitely going to go to.
Where
next
was that
year
again? Where, what part of England?
The Lulworth Festival in Dorset.
Dorset. Yeah. Dorset's lovely. I was just out there 2 weekends ago.
We went to the beach afterwards.
Nice.
And just like, it's just so serene and nice to get out of London. And
Dorset has the highest life expectancy of any part of England.
Really?
Yeah, it does. And it was funny when we were... Hi, Bailey.
Bailey, come on.
When we were out there, we read there was an article in the paper, some paper, not the Dorset paper, obviously, because it'd be self-influenced, but it was an article of like the 10 best things to do for your life. Number 2 was move to Dorset. Because it has the highest life expectancy of anywhere in England.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, it felt fresh and clean there.
So fresh and so clean.
The air and the rolling hills.
Yeah.
It is good, it was nice. Yeah. Anyways, this is one of the acts that was there, another act that was there. She played just after George Pringle, actually, and the two in a row was beautiful, and the first pot that I've had in 6 months was amazing. So
awesome.
Yeah, check it out.
Some might say I'm a Love you like me.